Hey everybody, movie retrospective time, and once again, here's the one that got voted for the most. This one was actually the clear winner. It wasn't close this week. This is Lucio Fulci's Zombie.
I tell you what, I never seen this movie.
I
It's
know.
the first time I've seen it. But I remember that poster back in the 80s when I was a kid. What the hell,
Oh
Boop? What the hell,
no!
Boop? Stepping over the shit. I remember seeing that poster when I was a kid back in the 80s, going, fuck that. Fuck
Fuck that
that.
movie.
Yeah, fuck that shit. That shit's too hardcore for me. And it was in a time when it was like the beginning of VHS rentals, and you couldn't find that one anyway. You never really saw
It
it.
was kind of hard
It
to
was
get
kind of
hold
hard to
of.
get. So I kind of had imagined it to be a lot worse than it really was. But when I saw it, you know what I mean? It was good, still a good movie.
Yeah.
But it was like, in terms of gore and everything, just on par with like Day of the Dead, really.
I thought the gore was really good.
Yeah, it was good,
Same.
yeah.
Well, that's kind of what this movie is famous for. It's like, oh shit, I should have worn. I have like actually a zombie shirt that says "We're gonna eat you" with that zombie on it. That zombie is like iconic. And like I said, I mean the poster for this. Like I used to have. I think I gave it to my ex-husband for Christmas or his birthday or something like that one year, like many years ago. They used to make. I don't know if they still do, but they used to make like a really nice mask of that zombie, and it looks
They
amazing.
used a lot of live worms in this movie
Oh yeah.
on the
Yep.
zombies, which that helped.
Oh, the Italians. They're just like, what? You know, it's cheaper. We'll just dig up some worms or some maggots or whatever and throw that shit on there. Put it in your mouth. It's fine.
The effects look pretty good. The masks look pretty good. I must say that the photograph of the mask on the poster looks better than it does in actual film, but it still looks good.
Yeah.
This looks pretty good.
Like I said, it's super
And
cool looking.
this was supposed to be a movie in the same universe as Night of the Living Dead and Day of the Dead and Dawn of
Sort
the Dead,
of.
kind of.
I'll get into
In Italy, it was
that.
supposed to be kind of like a licensed. Wasn't it supposed to be kind of like a licensed
Sort of, but
part
that
of the
was done
universe?
like after.
After the fact?
Yeah, because, okay, so the reason why. Now, in the US and in some other markets, it's just called Zombie, and that's it. In other parts of the world, it has like many other titles. I've seen it called Zombie Flesh Eaters. I've seen it called Nightmare Island. It's probably most broadly known as Zombie 2, the zombie without an E on it. Now, the reason for that is that George Romero's Dawn of the Dead was actually released in Italy before it came out in the US. But the version that they saw was just called Zombie, and it was actually re-edited from the American version by Dario Argento. So he actually put a new score in it, using Goblin like he usually did. And he made it kind of more like action-packed, I guess. Like he kind of shuffled some of the scenes around and cut some of the humor out and stuff. So the version that the Italians saw of Dawn of the Dead was just called Zombie, and it was different than the one we got. So what happened was the screenwriter of this, Dardano Sacchetti, who worked with Lucio Fulci on a lot of movies, I'll kind of get into that later on too. But he was writing a script in, I guess, summer of 1978, and it was actually not supposed to have anything to do with Dawn of the Dead. He wanted to do like a retro voodoo zombie movie, and originally the screenplay was called Nightmare Island or Island of the Living Dead or something like that. So when Dawn of the Dead like did so well in Italy, they were like, well, why don't we just like say that it's Zombie 2 and that it's like a sequel to Dawn of the Dead,
That's what they did in Italy.
even
They do that
though
shit a
it's
lot in
really
Italy.
nothing to do with Dawn of the Dead. I mean, the zombies are not formed by the same process. The zombies do not look the same. It's not set inside a mall. There's no humor. It's basically like a Caribbean old style zombie movie. I mean, when Dardano Sacchetti wanted something that was like the old 30s, like I Walked with a Zombie and like those kind of movies where it was more voodoo based. Whereas Romero's zombies were more, even though they don't really tell you what Romero's zombies were reanimated by, like that shit from space or whatever. So that was like a different thing. It was more scientific.
That wasn't really my interpretation of the movie. Maybe I missed something. I thought that the guy was didn't know for sure.
They left it
They left it
ambiguous.
ambiguous why the zombies happened.
Right. But they implied that it was like more of a voodoo curse type of thing.
Yeah, I guess. I guess
Yeah.
it's hard to decipher what Italians mean by their dialogue. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, and it's all
Because,
dubbed also,
yeah, it's all
just
dubbed.
like most Italian movies from this
It's
time
all
period.
dubbed, and there's going to be contradictions in the story. The way of one person, I think each character in the story has their own take on what the deal is.
Yeah.
and they just say what they think it is. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's what it really is. Because he was going, I'm a rational man of science. This can't be voodoo that's doing this. It must be something else. You know. But then he goes, but I've looked at it from a bacteriological way, a virology.
Yeah, we checked for
and
catalepsy.
I've looked at fucking radiology, and he's, yeah. I can't figure out what it is. So maybe it is kind of, you know, maybe it is voodoo. I don't know. You know, it was that.
Because it seemed like the islanders were kind of like, yeah, it's voodoo.
But there's a problem with that hypothesis. All right. There's a problem with that hypothesis. And I don't want to spoil the end, but the ending.
Well, we could, this movie's a bit
is
so old.
Yeah. They leave the island, and all of fucking New York and entire United States and shit evidently is infected by it. And I just didn't think it's not the same process. You know what I mean? And it was because a zombie got out.
Yeah.
You know.
That was like a bookend.
So it was like some kind of an infection. You didn't have a bookcore fucking doing magical rituals to turn a person into a zombie.
Although,
it was a plague.
Yeah, but.
It was a plague of some sort.
But it could have started out. As
maybe
like a voodoo,
it could have, but shit. I'm not gonna try to make sense out of a damn zombie movie.
Well, yeah, that's
just not gonna try,
but I'm just saying that, like, even though it was like perceived as like a ripoff of Dawn of the Dead or an unofficial sequel of Dawn of the Dead, it's really nothing like Dawn of the Dead. It has nothing to do with Dawn of the Dead.
I thought, no, it doesn't have anything to do with Dawn of the Dead, but I've seen all the Romero ones, and yeah, they're trying to stuff that in there.
Yeah.
It can kind of go in there in terms of quality. And now, the writing isn't quite the same. The tone of it isn't quite the same. Like, there's a lot more suspense. Well, they're going to, you know, the Italians are going to call it suspense. I'm going to call it a waste of time.
But because it's like, when are the zombies going
to
start eating people?
To get to the zombie island. But in true Italian fashion, they're going to show you a bunch of nudity, which, of course, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
They got some girl in on contract to fucking just show it all, you know, in the damn diving scene. And her whole purpose in the movie is to keep you entertained until the zombies show up. And she's got that real typical, very popular Aqualine, athletic build that was real popular in the early 80s. This is before Badonk Donk. So don't be waiting on some South American level fucking epic proportions, you know, like from Brazil. That's not what the deal is. This was popular in the United States and in Italy and in New Wave videos.
Yeah.
You notice that was the girl that should have been popping New Wave.
Can I just say that, like, I saw Cinema Snob's like review of this and he called that lady Adrienne Barfro.
Okay, yeah.
Sure, because of her hair.
Yeah. Terrible perm. But that's the way the 80s were. She was pretty, though.
Yeah.
She was good. Like, she just had terrible perm. And then Mia Farrow's sister, who looks just like Mia Farrow.
Tisa Farrow, yeah.
Yeah.
She was in a lot of these kind of movies, I feel like. She was in, like, what was that fucking movie about the anthropophagus or whatever, that about that cannibal movie? I think she was in that, too.
I was waiting for, what's her name, Tia?
Tisa.
Tisa's her name?
Yeah, T-I-S. Like Lisa, but with a T.
Yeah, Tisa. So they were making up names even back then. All right.
They were.
But I was waiting for her to bust it out, but she never got naked.
Well, she was probably like the biggest star in this.
Yeah.
Well, no, not really, because I guess like the guys that were in this, like the guy that played the doctor and the guy.
She didn't have much of a figure probably anyway, though. She probably just real skinny, because her sister was pretty skinny.
That's true.
Yeah.
They look like
that was real, yeah. That was real popular back then. To fucking just be just
the 70s, man.
Sick,
I don't even. It must have been all the like cocaine,
skinny, you know.
Because holy shit, I've seen some of the chicks in the movies, and I was just like, how did they even get that? Do they eat? Holy
no,
crap.
Cocaine.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they just ate cocaine.
Yeah, I don't need food. I have cocaine and cigarettes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically, all right. So the story of Zombie, if you haven't seen it. And like I said, it came out much earlier in Italy than it did. It didn't actually come out over here until 1980. And it was, I don't know if it was cut over here. I think it was. It's not now. Like, now they have the uncut version. But in the UK, big time, you know, this was right during the video nasty brouhaha with Mary Whitehouse and all that kind of crap going on. And so I think about 2 minutes was cut out of this, like all the worst gore, like the famous eye gouging like some of the other stuff.
Man, they shouldn't have cut that out.
Well, they put it back in in the 2000s.
You could obviously, okay, look, these kind of fucking gore effects, they would have affected me as a kid, especially on VHS, because the definition was very low. And especially on a CRT TV that we had back then, these effects would have been very convincing. You see them in HD, it's obvious that it's fake, but it's still, the quality is still pretty good.
And I think the effects in this look really good. Like I said, a lot of Fulci's movies, you know, they really went all in, like with the gore, and they wanted it to be as realistic as possible. So, I mean, the gore in this is a lot more realistic than the gore in Dawn of the Dead, that's for sure. Because the blood in that is, like, super bright red.
It had a killer reputation when I was a kid. You know, everybody was telling me, oh, no, that one's even worse, and this one's even worse. I was scared to see the movie in a certain way. But I probably would have watched it had I found it. I did kind of keep an eye out for it.
Yeah.
But I never did see it.
Like so I said, it was hard to get hold of.
I had it up on a platform, you know what I mean? Like, oh, that motherfucker must be, like, watching a snuff film.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I thought it was going to be, like, one of those cannibal movies where they were really killing those animals. I've never seen any of those.
I showed him Cannibal Holocaust.
She showed me Cannibal Holocaust, and I checked out. I was like, nope. As soon as that dude shoved that damn spike through that damn possum, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's a Coatimundi.
Yeah, it was a Coatimundi.
And that fucker's protesting, and I'm going, no.
No, and you didn't even see the turtle.
Cool. Ooh, and I'm a hunter. I kill all kinds of animals. It's just I don't believe in killing animals just to put them in a movie.
Torture.
Well, they have a version without the animal cruelty, but with all the other shit in there.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That movie has like a horrible like reputation because even like the people that got killed in that, that was so realistic that the filmmakers got brought in on like because they thought that the people really got killed. They thought up on snuff movie charges.
I know he's trying to make a. I know that in that movie he was trying to make a statement.
Yeah.
But you just don't do that with real animals just for the amusement of people.
That's fucked up.
No, not at all. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
You only kill animals for food and you try to make that shit as quick as possible. That was torturing animals. Cutting monkeys' heads off and shit while they were alive and shit. And that wasn't even a monkey. Was that a monkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that thing's protesting, cutting the top of its head off. No, you don't play it. I don't play that shit.
Yeah. No. So, but like I said, the Italians.
Yeah.
That's how they do
it. They needed to go to jail for that, if you ask me.
Yeah, just probably. Saying.
Yeah.
But, so this does not have real animal cruelty in it.
Right.
Although you questioned that shark.
I did, actually. Now, the weird thing about the shark scene.
It didn't have teeth. I don't think that was a wild shark.
Yes.
No, it wasn't. Well, because what happened was, so that scene was actually, I don't know if it was written into the script, but Fulci was just like, you know, he didn't really want to do that scene. But I guess that somebody, like one of the producers or something, was like, hey, we shot this scene with like a shark trainer, like, you know, done up like a zombie. And he's like, looks like he's wrestling the shark, which he did for real. Yeah. And Fulci was like, man, that's stupid. Well, I don't want to put the zombie fighting a shark in a movie. But once he saw the scene, he's like, oh, all right. And then he ended up putting it in the movie.
I understand why.
And that's like one of the most famous scenes from that movie.
This is still, what, mid-80s or early 80s?
Late 70s.
Late 70s, okay. That's perfect. I know why they did it. It's on the back of Jaws.
Mm.
Jaws was a huge phenomenon. You had a scene in there. What would it be like if Jaws and a fucking zombie fought? But it wasn't a very violent scene. It's just a guy kind of pretending like he's wrestling with a shark swimming around. The only thing that was unusual about it was he pretending like he's biting the shark. The shark, I noticed, didn't have any teeth, and I don't know.
Or it didn't look like
her teeth.
Of shark was that? It looked like a lemon shark, I want to say, but I'm not real sure. I used to be real up on my leg.
I was watching the shark, and he was grabbing that shark, and it was definitely not a wild shark. It was used to being handled.
Shark didn't care.
No.
Well, yeah, he's just like,
shark's like, okay, we're having fun.
Even the lady freaking out when it was like,
he's like, it's fine, I'm not going to eat you. I'm just swimming. I'm just swimming.
That was a well-fed pet shark.
Well, yeah, like I said, and that zombie was actually a shark trainer.
Yeah.
And that's like that whole thing was why they put that in the movie to start with, because I don't think that was initially in the story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what happens in this movie is that at the beginning, basically there's this derelict sailboat that's in New York Harbor. So these cops go and find it. They don't find anybody on there, and they're just like, what the shit? And then all of a sudden, like, this big fat zombie, like, comes out and bites one of the cops.
Yeah.
And then there's like
it's kind of like the opening of some stories of fucking Dracula when Dracula's ship comes up. That's what I
thought. It was like a plague ship.
Yeah.
And it does end up being that.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So then you kind of go into like this little bit of an investigative thing where Tiza Farrow's character It was her dad's boat. So the police are like investigating, like, you know, what happened to your dad? Where the fuck was he? And all this other kind of stuff. So her and this friend of hers, who is like a newspaper reporter, they're going to go to the island that her dad was supposedly, you know, on, called Matul in the Caribbean. And they're going to go check out what happened. Also, in the New York portion of the movie, the guy that's telling the newspaper reporter, like, you know, you need to go check out the story or whatever, that is a cameo by Lucio Fulci. And obviously he didn't speak a word of English, so you can really tell that he's, like, speaking Italian and it's, like, dubbed over. Well, because I feel like a lot of the actors in this, like Ian McCulloch, Al Cliver, I think they were British. And Olga Carlados, the woman who got her eye gouged out, I believe she was German, although I think she was speaking English in this, it looked like. But like I said, a lot of Italian movies, pretty much all Italian movies from this time period were always just like everyone was dubbed over because all the actors were from different places and they just all spoke their own language. And then they just dubbed it over
later.
And
the movie had 9 different dubs that they played all over the world. So the movies could play everywhere. It was a good scheme to make money if you were Italian.
Well, it seems like the most efficient way of doing it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the cheapest way, I guess. Yeah.
And the European markets were real forgiving about dubbing. U.S. wasn't. Now, in the horror scene, they were a little more tolerant of it. Because the horror scene, they were just happy to get a horror movie.
From somewhere. You know, and
especially if it looked good. This was a good movie. You know,
and Italy kind of had the reputation of, like, not only having a bunch more knockers in it, but also, like, having really good gore.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, shit was harder to get hold of back then. They did do a VHS release, I think, in the U.S. in 81, I want to say. But it was the cut version. I don't think they even released this uncut in the U.S. until the 90s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they had, as far as I'm aware... Yeah. I had the Anchor Bay one, but I don't know what happened to it.
I remember back in the day, you know, if you got your hands on any kind of Italian horror movie or Italian movie, we kind of considered it was like a couple steps above getting your hands on a fucking softcore porn flick when you were a kid.
Yeah, because the Europeans
were gonna fucking see some shit. Yeah,
they were just like they did not care about like the tits or the bush or anything. They would just put it in there,
and they understood the market.
Yeah,
that's what teenage boys wanted to see. Yeah, it's true.
Well, yeah.
They knew exactly what teenage boys wanted to see.
There's like tits and gore.
Yeah, and they didn't give a shit about any of these ratings or anything. Because they knew that it would eventually end up on some kind of VHS market around this time that it was coming out.
Yeah.
And it did. And movies like this were available for a long time on VHS afterwards. You can get it now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're still making money on it. It's probably been sold several times.
I think just recently, because I was watching a video by Adam Caesar, who was an author, and he also has like a horror channel over there if you want to check him out. Mm. But he just got, I think it was just from last year, where they did like a really nice like 4K remaster of this movie, and that came out on Blu-ray with like all the, it had like a disc of the score by Fabio Frizzi and all this other stuff, and it looked like really nice. And actually, this movie's on Shudder right now if you want to watch it. If you haven't seen it, but this is a nice looking movie. I feel like Italians, and particularly Fulci, because he had a reputation for gore films, which is kind of all he's known for in the U.S., even though he made like movies in every single genre. But I feel like they kind of get a reputation of being like shitty looking or being like not cheaply produced or anything like that. But this is a nice looking movie. I mean, the shots are framed really nice. It's like,
it's got a really good horror new wave score, like something you see on a
really
new
good.
Yeah, it was like a new,
well, like I said,
wave
Fabio Frizzi did like most of Fulci's movies, I believe. So
it could go right along with a Romero flick. It has problems that Italian movies always have: weird editing and pacing, weird dialogue choices, weird choices in showing scenes of, you know, like guys slapping women, and
they love their men slapping women.
Over the top, fucking.
I think every single giallo movie I've ever seen has
one chick freaking out, like overacting a little bit.
Yeah, over the top, like soap opera telenovela
type,
crying. But that's just the way the Italians were, and that's what they were going to put in a movie, and that's the formula that worked for them in their market, and it was good enough to sell. To other markets. You see, during the time when all this shit was coming out, it sounds strange to say so, but Italy's economy was fucked up. The average person in Italy didn't have a television. They went to the movie theaters. They didn't pay much to see these movies, maybe a quarter. But they saw a lot of them. There were movie houses all over Italy, and they were constantly packed. And evidently, they weren't real strict about ratings or how old people were. So there were kids watching these.
Yeah.
And they made a shit ton of movies. And, you know, you had a director making 8, 9 movies at one time, almost kind of like Hong Kong theater. So that's where this kind of stuff comes from. You had good Italian directors, and you had shitty Italian directors. And it was because Italy had a vast market for fucking cheap movies they had to constantly play in the theaters.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were getting movies from the U.S. and from other parts of Europe, but then, like, the appetite for movies was so insatiable that it's like they had all these directors that would just make, like, knockoffs.
Yeah.
Of, you know, it's like, oh, Jaws was a big hit. Let's make The Last Shark. Let's make Devilfish.
You like Superman? All right, we'll give you some more of that. Hold on, come up with some shit. Jaguar Man.
No, it was Puma Man.
Puma Man, that's right. Well, they came up with fucking
or
fake...
Or Puma Man, if
you know. It was almost kind of like... No, I want to say it wasn't as bad as Turkey. Turkey come up with some fucking crazy shit. It was
The Turkish movies are hilarious in their own right, but it's like... Those look like they were made for like $1.98.
You'd go to jail if you made that movie here in the United States. You'd go to jail.
I mean, the best one was, I think, was it Turkish Batman, where they had a scene with Batman and Robin going to the strip club?
They would fucking, they'd grab
and having sex with puppets or kissing puppets. Wasn't there a weird puppet scene in there? And I was sitting there going, what the fuck am I looking at?
And they graft in scenes from fucking Star Wars with fucking soundtrack by Journey.
Shameless.
Yeah.
It's
soundtrack by Journey, fucking, and they just...
It's so fun, though.
And then you got Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's a serial killer.
And he had a green suit for some reason.
I think it was supposed to be blue, but I think the color processing was so bad it looked green.
Either that, or they were just like, well, that's as close as we could get, and they're like, whatever, close enough.
So you're not talking about at that level. I mean, they had some master directors, you know, fucking, especially they had a couple of them in the damn Westerns that were really good. But, you know, it has problems that an Italian movie has, but those problems are only from the American point of view. From the Italian point of view, that shit was awesome.
And like I said, I mean, I love Italian movies, so I'm, like, very willing, like, especially any kind of giallo movies or anything like that, I'm into it. So it's like, I really like that. I really like that whole aesthetic. So that kind of shit doesn't bother me. I can see how, I mean, this movie is very gory and it has like some really iconic like gore shots, especially like, you know, the eye gouging, like the fucking, all the zombies like coming out of the earth with the worms and everything. Olga Carlotto's getting eaten by zombies. It's very like realistic and shit like that. But there is a lot of this almost, you know what, I know this is kind of a weird thing to say, but it almost kind of reminds me, the pacing of it reminds me a little bit of Serpent and the Rainbow, where it's just kind of like, because like I said, you have this, you know, opening sequence that's set in New York City, which they did actually shoot there. And then, so it takes a while for them to get to the island. And then once they get to the island, which I think they shot in the Dominican Republic somewhere. Once they get to the island, it takes a while for like the zombies to like invade. Yeah. But it's not the kind of thing where... I guess nowadays when they make a zombie movie, it's like, you know, it has to be like zombies like immediately and like zombies like through the whole thing.
Right, yeah.
Whereas this one has like much more buildup of like the mystery, like where did this girl's dad go? It's like, what's going on this island? What's this doctor up to? Does he have something to do with making the zombies like inadvertently or vertently?
If you ask me, I think that's a strange decision for them to do because I could understand it if there was a limited budget. And you wanted like a long build up and then a big payoff in the last 15 or 20 minutes. You know what I mean? I can understand that. The thing is, though, is that the build up to the zombie island is not a cheap build up. They're in New York. They're doing shit in a boat.
Yeah, they shot a lot in New York.
They're doing shit underwater
stuff.
Footage
they shot there.
So it's not cheap footage. I really, had it been my movie, I'd have done it Romero style. And right from the beginning, there had been a zombie outbreak on the island and a lot of zombie action through the whole thing. That probably would have been cheaper and more bang for the buck.
Maybe so.
Because it doesn't cost much to dress somebody up as a zombie and then just shoot them on location walking around.
Although I feel like the zombies in this one looked a lot better. Because, you know, as much as I love Romero's movies, I feel like most of the background extra zombies in, like, Dawn of the Dead, for example, were just, like, people with, like, blue-green makeup on.
That's what some of them were in this. I mean, okay, look. As soon as the zombie outbreak really starts rolling on the island, this is as good, if not better, than a than a Romero flick.
Well, I always liked the voodoo thing of it. I like voodoo zombie movies, and I feel like there's not a lot of those.
Yeah.
There's not as many of those made.
Just the quality of the fucking, the way the zombies look.
Yeah.
And the makeup scariness
really
of it.
Yeah.
And what they're doing. I think there was payoff in the movie. It wasn't quite long enough that I would have saved money with all the fucking New York shots and all the shark shots and underwater titties and fucking tight ass swimming.
I don't want them taking
that's
the shark
all great.
I love the shark.
That's all great, but that was all shit. I think I'd just rather have a bunch of zombies. Another half hour of
like
zombies.
You could have just started it on the island and not
started
even
it
the
pretty
New York
much
thing.
On the island.
But the thing that I liked enough. About the New York thing though at the beginning
it did explain
is that
outbreak.
It bookended at the end because at the beginning
that's
like
true.
That one zombie like falls in the water like in the New York harbor and then they go to the island and not all that shit happens and then at the end like the two like Tiza Farrow and the other dude like escape the island and they're like hey we got to bring this guy back so we can prove like what happened and then when they get back to New York spoiler alert zombies have already invaded because of the cop because the cop got zombified they got attacked by the zombie like on the
yeah the whole
the
going
beginning.
To the island and from New York to the island almost kind of felt like they were doing the King Kong thing where they're going to Skull Island.
It was kind of like
I
that,
think
yeah.
they tried to do that. Yeah, okay, you could do that, but I think I would have cut that way
shorter.
Down just for a few because it was like it was too long.
The build up was too long. I see where you're coming from.
But once the zombie started to happen, it did feel like. As good or better as a Romero.
I mean, I love those shots of the zombies coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
I think that looks so cool. Because I really, really like... Yeah. Like I said, I like the serious tone of it. I like all the worms. I love that kind of shit. It's like...
I kind of disagree with the voodoo element. He was talking like it was voodoo.
Yeah.
I don't think he... From what I got from the dialogue, he wasn't sure. I don't think it
well,
was.
Well, like I said, they didn't say definitively that voodoo had caused it, or maybe he caused it, or maybe it was a disease
it
or something like that.
It looked like from what my understanding was, that it was a normal Romero-style zombie
I
outbreak.
Think it was a disease. Yeah. I don't think it came... I don't know if it came from outer space or anything like that.
The thing is in Night of Living Dead, you know, they said that they thought it came from this contaminated
satellite.
From a comet or satellite or some shit like that. But it's not definitive even in that movie. They thought that maybe
yeah, they're like, oh, maybe that's
maybe.
What it is.
So,
because that's something that happened. Then,
so that wasn't then definite
happened.
Either. It was just some
that's
kind
true.
Of plague.
Yeah. Which, like you said, it can be this. It's, you know, but the island natives, like, said that it was voodoo because that's
people were coming
was.
To life in the morgues.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Coming up out of the ground every now and then, you know. So it just reanimated the dead. But there was never a definitive explanation of why.
Right.
Except maybe.
But like I said, this I guess because this has like a Caribbean island setting, so it just has like more of a voodoo flavor to it than
well,
Dawn of the Dead, which is kind of more like a consumerist
that.
Type. Yeah, well, because they had like the background music and everything like that. Was
I don't think that's what it was,
Caribbean-y.
Though. I don't think it had anything to do with voodoo, though.
Yeah.
I think they thought it did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's,
right.
You know,
at first.
It seemed like it was a disease. Because I think the doctor, Dr. Menard, that was there, I think he was, like, working on why it was happening. And he didn't really know, because he was, like,
he was going down the same path as Romero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that he was coming up with ideas, but they weren't sure why. Now, but, when you talk about later on in The Walking Dead, they did know why. It was, like, some kind of virus. They
it was
had.
A virus that
they
escaped,
all had
yeah.
It.
Yeah. But, so as far as I can remember, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that this was Lucio Fulci's first, like, straight up horror gore movie, because prior to this one, like I said, he had made westerns, he'd made comedies, he'd made like all different kinds of things. Now, he had made a couple of giallo movies. He made Don't Torture a Duckling, which I think is also on Shudder if you want to watch that too. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Didn't have anything with torturing ducklings.
Don't Torture a Duckling. And also he made The Psychic, better known as Sette Note en Nero, or Murder to the Tune of Seven Black Notes, which actually, we need to do a review on that, because that is weirdly, like, probably one of my favorite Lucio Fulci movies, and I feel like it doesn't get talked about enough. It's just, it's so awesome. And it was written by the same guy that wrote this movie. So when this movie came out and was, like, massively successful all over the world, I think it cost 410 million lira to make, which is apparently not that much money. I don't know how much it is in today's dollars. But it made, like, over, like, 30 billion lira, like, all over the world or something. And it's still, like, a cult classic today. So I guess on the strength of that, Lucio Fulci kind of went off and did, you know, his kind of iconic gore films, like, you know, The Beyond, City of the Living Dead, House by the Cemetery, like all his other, his kind of trilogy of undead type movies. So this was kind of like the, you know, the genesis of that, of him kind of going in that direction for a little while. There apparently were some sequels to this. There was a Zombie 3, which I think Lucio Fulci was working on, but then he got sick, and so they passed it on to someone else. And I believe there was also a Zombie 4. Now, I haven't seen either of those, so I'm not sure if they're any good or not. Yeah. Like, I kind of get the impression that they're probably not that good, because no one really talks about them. Like, I saw Cinema Snob, like, reviewed Zombie 3, but I didn't have time to watch it, like, to see if it was any good or not.
It's pretty rough.
I just assumed that it was just, like, another cheap, like, knockoff. But I don't know. If anyone's seen it and, like, would recommend that I watch it, then let me know, because I will watch it.
What did you think of this one?
Liked it. I mean, like I said, the pacing is a little slow in the beginning, but, I mean, I don't know. I kind of like the gimmicky, like, you know, iconic scenes and stuff like that. Like, it's kind of fun, I see what people liked it back in the day. Like, I can see why they'd be impressed.
Yeah, back in the day, it would have had a lot more impact. You know, we kind of were used to a little bit slower edits into the movie, so they didn't seem quite that slow.
But well, yeah, because that's now, kind of like what most movies in the 70s and 80s like, were paced like.
Yeah.
Particularly even gore movies, even like really iconic like gore movies that have like a few scenes in them. If you watch them now, like with, you know, with the attention span of people nowadays, they seem very slow. Like even slasher movies.
Yeah.
Like I was watching some slasher movies, you know, that I hadn't seen since I was a kid, and I'm like, wow, like a whole lot of nothing happens in this movie, and then like every 20 minutes somebody gets like macheted or something. But
it makes sense, because back in those days you didn't have a lot of opportunities to see imagery. You saw posters, you saw pictures, you saw television, and you went to go see movies. It was a big deal. Imagery was a fucking big deal. Nowadays you carry imagery with you around on your phone.
Yeah, everyone's seen everything.
And all this massive, fucking massively good CG-type imageries and these scenes and shit. So we weren't inundated with fucking high-quality imagery all the time.
It's
Our
hard
video
to shock
games were just blocks
nowadays,
and shit.
Because everybody's seen everything. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't really...
The age of imagery is over.
I mean, and like I said, even as cool as a lot of the gore is in this, like, I especially, like, I'm a big fan of the scene where he picks up that, like, metal cross and, like, takes the top of that zombie's head off, and then all the goop comes out. Like, I'm really into that.
You were talking about giallo movies. Was Alice, Sweet Alice a giallo movie, really?
It was, like, adjacent.
Okay, that was my favorite one, actually, because I'm not even sure that was Italian.
It's not.
It's not Italian, is it? Felt Italian.
It was kind of like... you know, a different country's interpretation of a giallo. I don't even know. I guess it sort of is, but it's not, it doesn't have...
No. Yeah.
We did a review of it a while back. Very young Brooke Shields was in it.
Yeah.
But, it's super
teenage
creepy.
Teenage girl killing people.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what you think, and then you find out it's not her.
Yeah. Spoiler. No, I'm just saying. That movie's, like, super old.
Yeah.
I don't worry about, spoiling movies.
Creepy dudes trying to creep out on these little 15-year-old girls and
14-year-old
girls.
Oh, yeah, that big fat guy that lived in
that.
Yeah,
big old fat guy trying to screw them and shit. That's
I just thought of that jar of cockroaches.
Jars of cockroaches and throwing matches in it and shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just... That was an era where you could fucking do creepy shit with fucking kids and get away with it.
That's true.
In the film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Weird shit.
I mean, like I said, I guess technically you could probably call that a giallo movie, although it doesn't really have like a lot of the hallmarks of the kind of classic Italian ones, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like I said, it's another country's take on it. So, and I've seen it called a giallo, like other
people.
Yeah,
and the other was like an American version of the giallo kind of.
The one with the twins.
With the twins, yeah, that was creepy.
No, not that wasn't anything like that.
It just kind of reminded. It was being played at the same time.
I mean, a giallo movie is basically...
Put the baby in the damn pickle jar and killed it.
Oh, that used to freak me out so bad. Like, seeing the top of the baby's head, like, in
the jar.
Was
it a pickle jar, or was it a...
It was, like, a cask.
It was a cask of fucking whiskey, wasn't it?
Or something like that. Or wine or water. I can't believe...
They were looking for the baby. They couldn't find it.
The book was good, too. Yeah. Like, by Thomas Tryon. He also read Harvest Home.
Just a little kid. Little evil kid. And he was psychic.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of like something out of... Kind of like Damien or something out of The Omen.
Yeah, I mean, well, like I said, giallo movies generally don't have supernatural elements.
Yeah.
Although, the Fulci and the psychic did, but it was still, like, structured. But, like, they don't usually have supernatural elements. It's usually, like, a crime story. not quite like a police procedural because it focuses more on the victim, but it's usually like a masked killer that's going around killing. So Alice Sweet Alice is kind of like that because it's a killer with a mask that's going around picking people off. So it is kind of like that. But I would not call
it. But it's an American movie, wasn't it?
I think it was American, yeah.
It felt Italian, though, the way it was filmed.
Well, because it was influenced by that. Yeah, okay. I mean, and that's what we were talking about. We were talking about this a little bit last night because we were talking about how, like I said, I think some people that don't know a lot about horror movies will have the perception that Italians just made, like, ripoffs of American horror movies. But that's really not the case.
No, Americans were ripping off
Italians,
too.
Yeah, I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, it kind of is the other way around. Because, I mean, you can say, like, for example, like, slasher movies, which obviously were influenced by giallo movies. But also, I would call the first slasher movie Bay of Blood, or Twitch of the Death Nerve, which was Mario Bava. That was the first movie that had, like, a POV killer, a first one that was going around, like, killing, you know, a bunch of victims, like, one by one, like, in a very slasher movie fashion. And that came out in, like, 1968, 1969, something like that. So even before Black Christmas, which was 1974. But I would probably call that the first slasher movie.
Yeah, and, you know, early John Carpenter, he was kind of ripping off a lot of fucking Italian type aspects.
Oh, yeah, big time.
You know, Escape from New York, a lot of the lighting and stuff in there was Italian style lighting.
It's very giallo-esque, yeah. Because they had that really bright, like, saturated kind of color. All right, so that'll do it for our review of Lucio Fulci's Zombie. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and we will see you on the next one. Bye.